So where to start with Match Day 7 Wednesday in the Champions League? Well, in France, Paris Saint-Germain produced one of their iconic continental comebacks to beat Manchester City by 4-2. Real Madrid's front line is clicking. Europe, be warned, they put 5 goals, some stunning, past Salzburg, into Arsenal, Celtic, Shakhtar, Milan, all claimed big wins. A famous night for Feyenoord against Bayern. Let's discuss all the drama from the UEFA Champions League. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard and match commentator John Bradley as we look back on another enthralling night of football in Europe's elite club competition. And Paris Saint-Germain, Kevin, the story.
They really are, because they were in deep, deep trouble in this game. 2-0 down early in the second half, and it was a test of the project. It was a test of these young players. It was a test of Luis Enrique. Could they, under almost unbearable pressure, deliver? And they did. And they did it in a big, big way. And I think this feels like a pivotal moment in their season. We know they're dominating Liga domestically. Now it's about, can they use this as momentum for the rest of this competition?
I think what was really interesting is that the big question mark, when they went 2-0 down, 8 minutes into the second half, both sides had made substitutions at halftime. Jack Grealish had come on for Manchester City and made an immediate impact. He scored one. He set up the second goal, which was helped through by João Neves, unfortunately for him, to Erling Haaland. And at 2-0, 8 minutes into the second half, the question mark was, do Paris crumble here? Or does this game fizzle out and Manchester City go back with a 2-0 win to England and look set for a place in the top 24 and will move through quite serenely in the end? And so that was the question that we asked of each other. As soon as they kicked off, Paris Saint-Germain players almost looked around at each other and said, it's business time, we've got to go here. And they went for Manchester City straight away. Dynamite football, extraordinary attacking football. And the one thing that we know about Manchester City this season is the ship has been a little leaky defensively. Well, tonight, Paris Saint-Germain, they've scored 4, but they've had 25 efforts on goal. They could have scored more.
They certainly could. Some great chances in the second half, and they ended up taking them. Meanwhile, as we come on air here, some games just finishing. Full-time whistle's gone at San Siro. Milan have beaten Girona 1-0. Sergio Conte-Sal's first Champions League game in charge of the club. We'll get to that and all the games shortly, and we'll give you the scores for the full 9 games we've had on Wednesday. But final 3, Bayern 0 feels seismic too, Kev.
It's an enormous result, because not only for what it does for Feyenoord in terms of the competition as a whole, and I think they've done really well in this tournament this season, but also just the scale of beating a continental giant like Bayern.
Yeah.
And not just to beat them, not to scrape a win against them, to beat them 3-0, fully deserving that victory. And, you know, for Brian Priska, for his staff, for these players, that's a terrific result. They've had some really good performances, actually, in this tournament. So, yeah, that's a really big result for them. And for Bayern, a bit more reflection. They've been stunning at the start of this year in the Bundesliga, but it's a bit of a setback for Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, it has been an extraordinary evening in the UEFA Champions League. I'll just run through the scores quickly from Wednesday's games. So as we mentioned, Paris Saint-Germain 4, Manchester City 2, Real Madrid 5, Salzburg 1, Sparta Praha 0, Inter 1, Arsenal 3, Dinamo 0, Celtic 1, Young Boys 0, Milan 1, Girona 0, Leipzig 2, Sporting 1, Shakhtar 2, Brest 0, those were the two early kickoffs, and Feyenoord 3, Bayern 0. So let's start our overall review with what we saw in the French capital. John was on commentary for Paris against Manchester City.
He's got to the banner, Bernardo Silva ricochets off the goalkeeper, and Jack Grealish scores. The ball comes back off Donnarumma really, really kindly, and Jack Grealish, who's only just come on as a half-time substitute, has put Manchester City in front. And the ball comes to Haaland, he scores. Well, it came to him somewhat fortuitously, but it's the easiest goal he'll ever score in the UEFA Champions League. Lovely piece of skill by Bradley Barcola. Across goal, goal! 2-1! It's raining goals in Paris! And Ousmane Dembélé has pulled one back. And Doué with a curler, it's come back up the bar, and the follow-up goes in! It's incredible! It's Bradley Barcola. We've had 4 goals in 10 minutes. It's Paris Saint-Germain 2, Manchester City 2. It is absolutely astounding what we are seeing in Paris.
Taken a crisis to really get them to open up the game. And since they did, City have found them really hard to handle.
Delivered by Vitinha across goal. And a diving header is turned home by João Neves on this sodden night in Paris. It's another goal. It's a huge turnaround. Paris Saint-Germain, who were 2-0 down, now lead Manchester City by 3-2. What a game! And then Gonçalo Ramos will gather the ball and will score and will run away to celebrate. There is a flag up. He's saying the last touch came off a Manchester City player. It's a goal, and Gonçalo Ramos sets off from the halfway line. It is a massive, massive victory for Paris Saint-Germain. They were 2-0 down 8 minutes into the second half. They have put 4 past Manchester City.
Kind of disappointed we didn't hear when we saw it as go off Guardiola's shoulder, and John went, oh wait, hello. tremendous piece of commentary and a tremendous game. And based on what we'd seen in the first half, John, you could see the high quality players out there. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't, based on the first half.
It was a game of chess in the first half, wasn't it? They were sort of feeling each other out. They were probing each other's defensive lines without overcommitting. And I think once we saw the Paris team, we thought, well, if it stays that way, Dembélé and Ramos will come on in the second half. I don't think we expected it at half-time. And Pep Guardiola, Savinho had been really good in the first half for Manchester City, and he withdrew him. We don't know if that was injury-related or tactically related, but Jack Grealish came on, had an immediate impact. But then it just... Paris Saint-Germain had no other option. They just had to go for it, and they made really positive attacking changes. Luis Enrique set his side up in such a way that they just wanted to push Manchester City back. They used a really good triumvirate in midfield of Vitinha, João Neves and Fabian Ruiz, and they sort of just pinned Manchester City in with the two wide players that they have, the two wide fullbacks in Hakimi and Nuno Mendes, who were both really good on the night as well. There will be concern for Manchester City that they were crumbled like they were. That's an issue that Pep Guardiola's had to deal with all season. But I think we look at the positives of this tonight, and that was as an explosive a half of football as I think we'll see any side produce this year and for many years.
If they played chess in the first half, they threw the board in the bin for the second half, because...
And the pieces at each other.
Exactly, yeah. Because it really did open up. And both of City's goals early in that half came from something we didn't see much of from City in the first half, which was players surging forward and taking other players out of the game. So Manuel Akanji on the right side of the area thinks, OK, I know I'm part of the City defence, but actually I'm going to take on Nuno Mendes here. And he zooms past him. And once he takes him out of the game, then he gets the cut back. There's a bit of the ball bobbling around and Grealish puts it away. And again, Mateus Nunes with the second goal. He's surging forward. He's leaving players trailing in his wake. That's what leads to Grealish cutting it back. And then Haaland gets a bit of fortune with the way the ball comes to him. I think the key was how quickly they got the first goal, Paris. Because it was almost, you know, it was a really quick response. And that comes from Barcola. Barcola... brilliant trick to get some space down the left, raced away, they couldn't catch him, he's so quick. And then Dembélé just stood in the area waiting for the ball. It was good positioning. Sometimes the best movement is not moving, and he was just there, great cutback, and he scores. And then I think the equaliser is unbelievable from Barcola, because it's a curler from Doué that hits the crossbar. It comes at him so quickly, and he sorts his feet out, gets enough on his right boot to send that in off the post. And at 2-2, suddenly the belief was flowing through the stadium, through the players, through the coach. And then the third goal that Paris score is a set play. City will look at it defensively and think, how have we allowed João Neves to have a free header at the far post? But John made the point in commentary. It's a wet night. It's a wet turf. It's whipped in with so much pace. It kicks up off the turf, and João Neves, who's not the tallest, not really an aerial battering ram, manages to guide that header on target. It's a fabulous goal, and then at the end, with City a bit discombobulated, Ramos scores a great finish.
And I think you mentioned it in the game, that once it went 2-1, City couldn't threaten. I don't remember City chances, really, down at the other end. And, of course, we'd look back at other games they've had this season. Just last week, Brentford 2-0 up, drew 2-2. Yeah. Feyenoord 3-0 up, drew 3-3 at home. So something for Pep Guardiola to address, and I'm sure he can't wait to get those new signings involved. He'll hope to be in the round of 16 and at least the knockout phase to be able to use them in this competition, because a quick reminder of their state of play right now. They play Club Brugge on match day 8. Brugge on 11 points. City outside the top 24 on 8. A point would be enough for them. It wouldn't be enough for City. They'd be out. So that is some game. And it's a testament to the new format as well. In terms of the stature of this win, John, quickly to close. How seminal, how important for this group of players in the post Mbappe,
yeah,
beyond that Neymar Messi era, for this group of young Paris players?
I like what the template is now for Paris. They've gone away from, you know, the Galactico model of Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, and they're looking at younger players and bringing them through and developing them and building a nucleus of a squad that can go on to be successful together for many, many years. They've got some special talents in that squad, and I think we're looking forward to see them come together as a unit to really challenge at the business end of this competition.
You only really grow together as a group if you come through nights like this, and I think this will be enormous for them as a collective.
You could see that with the celebrations at full time, couldn't you? Okay, let's head to the Netherlands next. Bayern travelled to Feyenoord, and it was watched by Bill Leslie.
Away here, Jimenez, and Jimenez scores! What a finish! The man of the moment for Feyenoord has given them the lead against Bayern Munich. Feyenoord on the charge. Look at their players flood forward. Just denied at the last. Penalty! Jimenez, who scored a penalty recently against Utrecht. Well, that's perfectly taken, and this has all the makings of a perfect night for Feyenoord. Here's the score of the two goals, Jimenez, who's brought down by Goretzka. Advantage played, let's see if it can be taken. Ayala in! A night where Feyenoord dreams come true. Ayala off the bench to make sure of a famous Champions League night. As far as Feyenoord are concerned, it does not get much better than this.
No staggering, they're up to 11th in the Champions League table on 13 points. Derek Brutman, our reporter at Tekelp tonight, said this is one for the ages. To defeat the mighty Bayern at the best of times would be a remarkable feat, but to do so with a patched up team missing several key players is nothing short of astonishing. He points to Justin Bailao as well, the goalkeeper, player of the match, Kev, in a 3-0 win. And I think that tells you a lot about what was happening at the other end.
Yeah, he made a couple of really brilliant saves from Harry Kane, including one really important one at 1-0 that could have completely changed the game. But I think what we've seen with Feyenoord throughout this competition, actually, even when it's gone against them, a commitment to attack, a commitment to send men forwards, and it's absolutely right to mention their recent form, because domestically they've dropped to fourth in the Eredivisie, which of course is not the standards that they've set recently. But to come up with this is something really quite special, and to have 13 points on the board with one match day to go, yeah, that is a phenomenal achievement. It really is.
Beat Sparta Praha 4-2 in their previous outing. We mentioned the City comeback. Massive night for Brian Priska, filling the shoes of Arne Slot. And for Bayern now, Kev, it's another defeat. Four wins, three losses to their name after defeats to Villa and Barcelona as well. You cover German football. How will this one be perceived? And their status 15th in the league phase at the moment. Normally, they always win that group, let's be honest.
100%. And there'll be question marks, because any defeat for Bayern creates question marks. I think they'll look at the fact that all three defeats have been away from home. I mean, it's a tough opposition, mind. You know, Barcelona, yep, who played very well on the night. That was a ruthless performance from them. Villa Park, that could have gone Bayern's way, but it didn't. This one, I think, you know, they'll be disappointed that they've been beaten by a big margin, but they had chances, they hit the post. So, you know, it's still very early days in Vincent Kompany's reign, but the 4 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga against a very good Leverkusen team. So I think in general it's very positive, but this is just a reminder that there's still a lot of work to do.
And they're still within touching distance of the top eight. That's not beyond Bayern, to make that clear in 15th. It is so tight and congested, really, from what, fifth down? From fifth to 13th, there's 2 points in it. I mean, this is going to create for a crazy match day eight in the Champions League. Big win for Arsenal tonight, Kev, after some tricky home results. They beat Dinamo Zagreb by 3-0. Declan Rice, Kai Havertz, player of the match with the second. Odegaard with the third. A handy win. They beat Monaco in their last home game as well.
Yeah, really important, I think, for Arsenal. And if you look at some of the recent results they've had, if you look at the fact they lost ground in the title race in the Premier League at the weekend, I think they needed a response. I think the thing you'd say about Arsenal is that Mikel Arteta has made that team seem very at home in the Champions League very quickly. Like, this is a group, when you really think about it, hasn't had a huge amount of Champions League experience as a unit, and he's made them look like part of the furniture very, very quickly. And you expect them to win home games. Now, I know they're a big club in the Premier League. I know they've been battling for the title in the last three seasons now, if you include this one. But it's still a leap to this competition. It's not easy. You have to have a bit of know-how, a bit of street smart.
A Bayern quarter-final kind of taught that.
Yeah,
a little bit, perhaps,
yeah, that's a great example, actually. It's a great lesson that I think they've learned. And so that is a process, and I think this is an important step for them.
Dinamo Zagreb, by the way, tonight, if you weren't following the game, first Champions League match in charge tonight for the great Fabio Cannavaro,
yeah,
who's coached outside of Europe as well to this point, but taking charge of the Croatian side. Big as well for Arsenal to put themselves in this position now, Kev. They're third in the standings, 16 points to their name. They're only 2 points behind Barcelona and five behind Liverpool. Those two teams already into the round of 16. And a nice position to be in going into match day eight, given their injuries. I mean, they'll be hoping they can, you'd imagine, rotate a little bit going into that final match.
Yeah, that's true. And I think this is where the real intrigue of this competition comes into play. Because if you can get automatic qualification for the last 16, if you can lock that down, it does give you those two games of rest in the schedule. And when you've got a team like Arsenal that's pushing for the Premier League, for example, and has had all those injuries, that is a real boost, yeah, for you, because you can recharge, you can reset, and you can just maybe get a few injured players back. I think that'll be a real boost to Liverpool, who we know have already locked that down. So Arsenal will want that luxury as well.
No Saliba, White, Tomiyasu, Saka, Wanyeri, and Jesus, of course, who's going to be out for the remainder of the campaign. Let's hear from Declan Rice after he scored his first ever Champions League goal.
Look, I'm getting in the right positions when I play eight. He scored a good goal in the first half, but I'm annoyed I didn't get a second. You know, that's where I've got to be a bit more clinical. But to get my first Champions League goal, I think it's been obviously taken me two seasons, but I'm so happy, and yeah, hopefully many more to come.
Case in point of what you were talking about, of course, Declan won European silverware with West Ham, but hasn't actually played that many Champions League games in his career. Milan tonight have beaten Girona by 1-0. They're up to sixth now, 15 points. John, you would have done their opening game, I imagine, against Liverpool in the league phase, yeah, where you wondered as to how big the gap was between them and Europe's elite. They've really come roaring back in the Champions League anyway. First game in charge in the Champions League tonight for them with Sergio Conceição.
Yeah, I think really important for them. I think you could say that about Barcelona as well. We saw them on match day one really struggle.
Absolutely.
At Monaco, didn't we, as well, and lose. I know they had a player sent off early in that game, but the young guns of Barcelona looked to struggle. Obviously Milan, a lot more experienced players, a lot of great talent within that squad, but you wondered how good it was at this level. And it looks pretty good now. It looks pretty solid, and yeah, really, really impressive group phase from them.
To lose your first two and then win five in a row, including a win at the Bernabeu, that's pretty good, yeah, going. And a good response, I think, tonight, because They lost pretty meekly at Juventus at the weekend in Serie A.
2-0,
Sergio
yeah.
Conceição was not a happy man, their new coach, so this was a good response.
Yeah, he's already picked up the Super Cup, didn't he, in dramatic yeah. fashion against Inter. So a good start for Sergio Conceição as the Rossoneri boss. Sparta, meanwhile, their rivals Inter, beat Sparta Praha 1-0 away from home tonight. Lautaro Martinez with the goal that was the difference there. A lovely first-time finish in the first half after a deep cross into the penalty area from Bastoni, the central defender, and that was enough. They thought they had a second when Denzel Dumfries put the ball in the back yeah. of the net. It was disallowed in the build-up, but 5 goals in 7 for Lautaro Martinez now.
Yeah, and at the other end, I think they've conceded, what, 1 goal, Inter?
That's
so
very
far?
True. Absolutely the winner in the previous match day to Leverkusen.
They're a machine. And I think they go a little bit under the radar, Inter. If you look at last season, I felt they had enough chances to go through against Atletico Madrid and they couldn't quite get over the line. But they feel like a team to me, under Simone Inzaghi, who of course has led them to a final a couple of seasons ago and they were really good in that final against Manchester City. They feel to me like a team that's always going to be in the mix in this competition because they're a really good two-legged tie team. They're never going to give much away. They've got real firepower at the top end of the pitch, really experienced goalkeeper, and for me, one of the best coaches in Europe.
John, you were talking about Paris Saint-Germain sort of moving away from that Galacticos model. I feel Real Madrid are moving more and more back to back to it. And my word, they clicked into gear tonight. I mean,
are you suggesting that Luis Figo's going to make a dramatic re-entry?
He's coming back. Zizou's coming back too. Look, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about whether Mbappe can fit into that front line.
Yeah.
Him, Bellingham, Vinicius and Rodrigo were all involved in that opening goal. And I'm sure moments like that will delight Carlo Ancelotti, because we were at Wembley to see how good that team was against Dortmund in the final last year. 5-1 winners tonight. Vinny got a couple, Rodrigo got a couple. Really good performance from Real Madrid against Salzburg.
I think it did take a couple of months, and I think probably fitting into Carlo's way of playing as well. We know the master tactician, the master coach that is. He would have asked Kylian Mbappe to do things that he's probably never done before in his game, because that's the sort of coach that he is. And I think it took him time to settle. I think it took him time to get used to demands. Listen, Paris Saint-Germain are a massive club, but I think the demands of playing for Real Madrid are the highest.
The global pressure, yeah. I mean, it's intense,
you know,
isn't it?
And when you are there, you are the figurehead of the great club of European football, and also a club that has just won the Champions League, that is so good in the way, and they've actually reset themselves and rebuilt the way they play to accommodate you in there. And you question for the first couple, is this going to work? Is he that sort of player? Will he fit into the mould of how they play? Are you going to negate what Bellingham did all last year by putting Mbappe in there? Well, it's 6 months in, it looks pretty good now, doesn't it? Listen, good players don't become bad players, do they?
And
he was always, I think, going to be a goal-scoring success there. But it now looks like the team ethic is really good again there as well.
16th in the standings, Real Madrid. And I should mention Mbappe scored as well, tackling the goalkeeper basically on his goal line as part of that 5-1 win over Salzburg. Finally, Kev, from the late kickoff, Celtic 1, Young Boys 0. Quick one on this. What a massive win for Celtic. 2 disallowed goals, a missed penalty from Arne Engels in the first half, and then Adam Ida racing through. His shot was saved 4 minutes in time, but the ball bounced in off Lloris Benito for an own goal. They finished the game with 10 men, but Celtic now onto 12 points in the Champions League.
A monumental moment for them, really, because if you look at the Champions League for them in recent years, it's been so tough for them to try and compete in the group stage. They found it really difficult. But the beauty of this format is it gives you a couple of extra games. It gives you a bit more scope. And you play all different types of opponents. I think Celtic have suffered sometimes from the fact they'd have 2 really big hitters in their group. They'd end up with 4 games against teams that they just couldn't quite match up with. This has really suited them. But I have to give them enormous credit. They went to Dortmund and they were absolutely shredded. 7-1 in that game. And then they went away to Atalanta later in the league phase, and they really toughed out a draw. And I have to give them massive credit for the way they've turned the campaign on its head since that battering in Dortmund.
They will be in the knockout phase, the playoff round at the very least, Celtic. Still to come on the podcast tonight, we'll look back on the rest of the night's action and look ahead briefly to match day 8.
You're listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.
There were two early kickoffs on Wednesday, both in Germany. Shakhtar and Brest met in Gelsenkirchen, while Leipzig hosted Sporting.
Xavi inbound, round and tapped in for the game's opening goal for Leipzig by Benjamin Šeško. Is this where they get their first points on the board on match day 7? It's Gyökeres! The finish was rocket propelled. Baumgartner, Yusuf Poulsen, and Poulsen scores. Their longest serving player to restore the Leipzig lead.
Big chance here for Shakhtar, and they take it willingly. Kevin had a clear run through to goal, and the Shakhtar record signing is giving them a lifeline in the Champions League. It's a perfect pass as well. Goalkeeper comes. Did he catch the striker? The referee thought so. He awards the penalty to Shakhtar Donetsk. How cool was that from Sudakov? He flipped Shakhtar into a 2-goal lead.
Yeah, it was a massive victory for them in Germany. Let's get further reaction to that result from our reporter Matthias Reuters, who describes their spirited performance.
Shakhtar showed a really good team performance tonight. Already before the game, some of the Shakhtar players had told that they were very well prepared for the game and for the opponents. And it turned out to be exactly that way. There was a bit of luck involved when Brest Chardonnay missed the ball before the 1-0. But it was no lucky shot. The 2-0 through penalty was the result of another quick attack by the hosts. And after that, Brest tried a lot, but they failed to create good chances against a very well-organized Shakhtar team. And for me, the 2-0 was a very well-deserved result in the end.
Yeah, Kevin, with that cool finish going through one-on-one, Sudakov with that Panenka-style penalty. What does this do now, Matthias, to Shakhtar's Champions League position? Because I know they started the day outside of that top 24.
Yeah, you can say the dream lives on, but I think the chances of a top 24 finish are pretty slim. Nevertheless, the team showed today that they definitely have a right to be in the Champions League, and the Ukrainian fans left the stadium with a big smile on their faces. I think they had a really good night tonight.
Yeah, 4 points from their 6 matches going into tonight. Just the 1 week victory against Young Boys before facing Brest and beaten by Bayern on match day 6. On to Brest here, because, you know, they were in a position whereby they were thinking they could get themselves very close to the automatic round of 16. Where are they now off the back of this?
Oh, yeah, I think they were really disappointed tonight. If you get just once, beaten once on the first 6 matches, you can expect to take something from a Donetsk game, I think. But for Brest today was a really, really bitter evening. Many football fans were expecting the team to make it into the top 8 today, but Shakhtar were perfectly prepared. And yeah, now it's up to the last match day for Brest, and they're no less a team than Real Madrid will be coming to Brest. So I think the French guys will have to show a bit more next week to get in the top 8.
Yeah, tremendous game to end their league phase campaign. Finally, Matthias, you've been at a couple of these Shakhtar games in Gelsenkirchen, Germany. Do they feel like a home fixture for the Ukrainian team?
Yes. So today there were like 15,000 fans in the stadium, and you don't have a support as it would be in Donetsk in the stadium. But you see that there are many Ukrainians here in the stadium, and many fans of FC Schalke. They are cheering for Shakhtar too. So you can say that they feel pretty at home here, I guess.
UEFA's reporter in Gelsenkirchen, Matthias Rotters there. Elsewhere, Leipzig 2, Sporting 1. They're up and running with points on the board, Leipzig. Our reporter Judith Tufton-Sammer spoke with match winner Yusuf Poulsen.
I think it was a good game all in all. A lot of good football, a lot of intensity. And I think we at the end we deserved the win. We put more into the game. We created a lot of good chances where yeah, good defensively also. Sporting is a good team, so we know that they can play good football. But at the end, I think we deserve the win.
You were already eliminated before this game, but still wanted to prove yourself to show what you can do, especially internationally. How do you think you did that tonight?
I think you saw a team that wanted to win the game with everything they got, and like you said, we're no longer able to qualify for the next round in the Champions League. But you still saw a team that wanted with everything they got to win this game, and that shows the character of this team.
Yusuf Pals and their great stuff from Judith, as always. Leipzig up to 30th in the standings, Kev. I mean, look, we knew they couldn't progress in the competition, but as you can hear the relief in their voice there that they've got some points.
Yeah, and I think also in the course of their season globally, it's important because actually they've really struggled recently. They blew a 3-0 lead at Bochum last time out in the league and ended up drawing 3-3 with the team that's been really struggling. So they've had some poor results. So I think that's just an important step. Got a massive game at the weekend against Bayer Leverkusen because they want to qualify for this tournament for next season. They know this season is pretty much over for them in terms of the Champions League, but they want to be back in it next term.
There's so many big games. It's hard to even process what match day 8 is going to be like when every single team is playing at exactly the same time. And you look at the table, we've already mentioned it, but 5th, Atletico, 15 points, all the way down to 13th, Brest, 13 points. Then 12 points goes all the way down to Celtic in 18th.
But so many games go the way you don't expect them to. If I think about Tuesday, that Benfica-Barcelona game is one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my entire life. Honestly, the goals you had, the swings of momentum. Poor old Pavlidis gets a hat-trick in the first half hour.
Gone.
Nobody's talking about that anymore. Yeah. Did you know I scored a hat-trick against Barcelona? Did you lose? Oh, yeah, well, I did. But
I mean, and Liverpool, John, you covered them last night.
Yes.
In an extraordinary position, really, because not only are they already through, they're guaranteed in the top two places.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else they can do. They're one of the only teams, really, to be happy with their feet up on match day 8.
Yeah.
They play PSV, but then Arne Slot goes back to the Netherlands.
Yes, so there's a bit of extra edge there. Cody Gakpo, of course, as well, going back as well to Eindhoven as well. Listen, they're going really well, obviously, in the Premier League in England. They're in the League Cup semi-final. The second leg of the semi-final with Tottenham is the week after, of course, which they're behind in. Obviously done so well in this. I think we might see a fairly young side in Eindhoven because they've done... But it would be a great lift for them to win the group stage, the first ever group stage of all the teams together. I mean, it's not something you're going to get a trophy for or anything, but it's just something nice, isn't it?
Do you know what's really interesting, actually? Arne Slot talked about this afterwards, and this is another fascination of the format, right? So in theory, you finish in the top two and you get an easier, in inverted commas,
from the middle of the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Phase standings. Yeah.
But he said, because it's the first season, we don't know how that's going to turn
out. Kev, how about
out.
This, right? So that's right. 15th to 18th would be the teams that Liverpool potentially face, I think. That's Bayern, Real Madrid, Juventus and Celtic.
Yeah, that might not be the advantage we thought, as it turns out. But that is why the format has been such a success. Because there's a little bit of a step into the unknown, which is actually quite lovely sometimes. But also, just don't know how that knockout phase is going to shake down. It's great.
Well, the Match Day Live will be on air, not only worth listening to for the brilliant drama in the Champions League, but to hear Chris Parrott on presenting duties explode as he tries to
and
work
me alongside.
Are we speaking literally or figuratively here?
Let's switch it back to the night's drama and hear from final striker Santiago Jimenez following final's 3-0 victory against Bayern and his two goals.
It's true, no? And we fight, we play a counter-attack, amazing job about everyone, so yeah, we deserve to win because all the effort we put. You see the stadium, the fans, they always push and they motivate us every minute to push also.
The thoughts of Santiago Jimenez there. Let's switch things back to Paris. City boss Pep Guardiola speaking following their 4-2 defeat, and he had praise for Luis Enrique's side.
They were better, so they have one more man in the middle with a false nine, and it was difficult to press them. And yeah, in the duels they were better, in the possession. So the best team won, we have to accept it and learn from that. And we have to last chance at home against Bruges, we will try to do it.
What a game that's going to be on match day of 8. My thanks to Kev and John as well. That's all we have time for this evening. A reminder, next Wednesday we'll be back for match day 8 like never before. It is 18 games kicking off all at the same time. The last chance that Europe's best have to secure their place in the knockout phase of this competition, and that includes Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. After their dramatic defeat at Paris Saint-Germain, 2-0 up, the French champions roar back to deservedly, as you heard there, win the game. What a night it's set to be. But for now, from me, Rod Daly, and the rest of the Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.